Good evening to everyone. Today is the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord. The epistle to be read on the Ascension of our Lord is from the Acts of the Apostles. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day on which giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up into heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. Thus far the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they, going forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working withal and confirming the word with signs that followed. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. On Ascension Thursday, one part of the ritual of the Mass is that during the reading of the Gospel, the Paschal candle is extinguished. And this, of course, is a symbol, of course, that Jesus' physical and visible presence was no longer found with the apostles when he ascended into heaven. And we're reminded about heaven on this day, and that is because Jesus went there with his body. He ascended into heaven. We see that in the Apostles' Creed and also in the Nicene Creed that we read at Mass, one of the articles of the Creed. There are 12 articles in the Creed, and one of them is the ascension of the Lord Jesus into heaven. And in the Holy Rosary, it is the second glorious mystery of the Rosary. And the Church thinks that it's important enough to make you go to Mass on Ascension Thursday, and it's always on a Thursday. It's one of those holy days of obligation that always falls on a weekday because it's exactly 40 days after a Sunday, which is Easter Sunday. In order that you appreciate this mystery better, we will speak a little bit about heaven. First of all, The world doesn't understand heaven. We see our advertisers, you know, saying how something that they sell tastes heavenly or makes you feel like you died and went to heaven. Well, it's not nearly like that because they don't know what heaven is like. Remember the words of our good Lord, "Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it ever entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him." And as you can be sure, if your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard, neither have your taste buds tasted what heaven is like. And so the ads are wrong, but nevertheless, they would like to exaggerate, and that is the reason they say that. What is really heaven then, if it's not just a whole lot of peace and joy and love? Heaven is the vision of God. In other words, a human creature, when he goes to heaven, he sees God. And that constitutes the natural and supernatural happiness of a human creature, to see the Creator, to look upon him. Now, God is a spirit, and he cannot be seen with the human eye. And that is why when someone goes to heaven, God gives them a new faculty of their soul, which they do not have beforehand, enabling them to see the spirits. As it is right now, we can't see spirits. If anyone ever saw an angel, it was because for a while the angel took a visible body for your sake. It is not because they have bodies, because they don't have them and you can't see them. They don't reflect light. A spirit is immaterial. Light is material. And so we receive this faculty which enables us to see the spirits if we go to heaven. And that means not only the angels and the souls of humans, but we can also see God. And seeing the infinite and glorious and beautiful and powerful and all-loving God, that will make us happy. In fact, you know that certain electronic components cannot stand too much voltage, too much electric pressure and current, and so they put a capacitor on there to keep it down for it so it doesn't blow up. We will have to have a certain gift like that, a capacitor, kind of like a spiritual capacitor, to keep us from just disintegrating or vaporizing for happiness. So along with this faculty of the vision of God, which is called the light of glory, God will give us also a protective device to keep us from melting down when we see him, right? But our happiness will be complete and full. And God has designed the human being so that nothing else can really make him happy except to see and possess God, as we will if we make our way to heaven. Now, the ascension is the day in which Jesus himself, in his human body also with him, went to heaven. And when he went, he took also with him all the souls who were the just and good holy souls of the Old Testament, including his father, foster father Joseph, and even the good thief who died with him on the Calvary. And this entrance into heaven is a doctrine of our faith. It's a dogma. If we refuse to believe it, we're not Catholic. It is the same for every dogma of the faith. But Jesus ascended into heaven, and he took with him the souls of the Old Testament holy men and ladies who died beforehand. And this shows us, should we believe it, as we really must, it shows us that we too can go to heaven and that Jesus will take us there if we die holy. And so, in order to join Jesus in this mystery completely, we really need to die holy. And that means we have to live holy as well. And so we receive God's holiness by believing the Catholic religion, not just the thing in general, but also its particular parts, because it is a whole system which cannot be broken. If we cannot say, okay, well, I'll take the Immaculate Conception, I'll take the redemption, I'll take the sacrifice of the cross, but don't ask me to believe in purgatory. Well, this one has broken the system. He is not a Catholic. And he does not have the Catholic faith, and thus he cannot save his soul. And so in order to enjoy the light of glory and to see the Holy Trinity, we must believe in what they have revealed to us and not pick and choose what we want to believe in. We have to take the faith as a whole system that must be accepted, because if it's not accepted, we cannot have the reward that it promises. And if we wish to make up our own system, like so many these days do, I hear so many times, oh, that's okay, don't talk to me, Father, I got my own religion. And I said, well, you ain't going to have the heaven that we have, because your religion doesn't have the God that ours has. Because if he does, and you refuse to believe what he revealed, you refuse his authority, that's a sin. And you can't come to God if you refuse his authority to reveal to us. And the church's authority, the Roman Catholic Church's authority to teach it to you. Remember the words of Jesus, and we saw it again in today's gospel. And they went out and taught, go out to the whole world and teach every creature. And they have this commission from Jesus Christ, the first apostles and all their legitimate successors down to the centuries. So the faith is important and necessary. We must believe the entire set of dogmas, not just in general with a general consensus, but also the particular parts, we must accept them all. And then we must also be baptized, which is the official entry into the Roman Catholic Church, mystical body of Christ, and the participation in the sufferings and death of our Lord, and therefore the beginning of the participation in his resurrection and ascension into heaven. And we cannot participate in the ascension if we refuse to participate in the cross and passion and death. And so we join the church and we become a member of the mystical body of Christ. If we refuse that, we cannot have the rewards that are promised to those who do. Then we must keep the commandments. God gave us 10 commandments. He could have given us 875 commandments. But he gave you 10 to keep. And the commandments of the church. There are 6 of them. So you have altogether 16 commandments, plus the 2 great commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. 18 things to follow. Not 875. 18. And it's not too difficult if we just make up our mind that that is what we're going to do. If I make up my mind today, come hell or high water, I'm going to keep the commandments. And I am firm in that. I've made my decision. And then a temptation arrives. What's the natural reaction? Refuse it. That's stupid. It's against my goals. Am I going back on my determination? That would be stupid. If I want to see God, I've got to keep that commandment that I'm being tempted to break. And knowing that refusing my temptations and keeping of the commandment will give me what's called hope. There are three theological virtues: faith, hope, and charity. And hope is that virtue by which we expect to go to heaven. But it's based on two things: God's promises and my performance. If I do my part and I keep those commandments, join the church, etc., die holy, I can fully expect to go to heaven. But if I'm wishy-washy, and I say, well, on odd number Tuesdays, I choose to break a few commandments, I don't have solid hope, do I? How can I hope to go to heaven if I don't always do what's required of me for it? Let's say your employer hires you and says you come in 5 days a week, work 40 hours a week, and at the end of the week you get a paycheck and you come in 2 days a week. How much hope do you have for a full paycheck? You might get the pay for 2 days, you might get a full 40 hours pay, but it wouldn't be fair. And he might just fire you. And if he's really wicked, he'll sue you for damages because he didn't perform your part of the contract. Now, God is also fair, but he's laid down the rules. It's up to us to make up our minds that we're going to follow him. And if we do that and continue that way, we will see God face to face in heaven. And we will be filled with the consequent happiness. And we'll be at overload capacity almost with our happiness. It'll almost destroy us. But God will see to it that we're just always at that point, at the verge, you know, of just enough happiness not to kill us, but to be really enjoying it. So we have to make up our minds. Do we want to follow Jesus to heaven? And we want to make up our minds to go ahead and do our part so that we'll truly hope to go. And it's important that we know what those commandments are and what they forbid and what they command. So that's why the catechism, study of the Catholic religion in the catechism, is paramount. Something we make to little children in school, we make them memorize. Questions and answers from the catechism. Why make them memorize it? Isn't that cruel? No. We're being good to them, right? Because if they memorize it, they know it by heart. Then when it comes time to be tested in their life, they'll have all they need to pass the test. They'll know which way to turn and what to do. And so it's actually doing them a huge favor, even if it hurts for a while. It's kind of like somebody who exercises, does his calisthenics and his workouts and so on, aerobics or whatever. It doesn't feel good to get sore muscles and get tired, but that gives him strength. And so we sacrifice something to get what we want. And we'll sacrifice wicked temptations and our own will whenever it's necessary. And we save our souls. And part of that is studying catechism. Have catechism books in your house. If you have no one to teach, get an imaginary student and teach him. Right? Make sure you pick a dumb imaginary student. So you have to drill it into him really hard. That way, you know, you'll get it all the better yourself. You can say, no, I said one person and two natures. Not two persons and one nature. One person and two natures in Christ. Understand? Okay, so two persons and one nature. No! One person and two natures. And you hammer it into this imaginary student. And pretty soon, you will have it straight yourself. And you'll know, for the third commandment, what does that command us? It commands us to keep the Sunday, to refrain from, to spend the time doing something holy, and especially assisting at Mass. Right? Thou shalt keep holy the Lord's day. Right? Does that mean we can go out and mow the lawn? No. Only if you're about to get sued and you couldn't do it the rest of the week and you can't do it tomorrow either. Right? And if it's really urgent, that urgent, you can do it. But if it's not necessary on that day, you can't do it. It's servile work. Servile work is the work you do with your strength more than with the brains. Balancing your checkbook is not servile work. You cannot do unnecessary servile work on a Sunday. And you have to hammer these things into your heads. Day after week after week, month after month. Drill it in. The world is telling you the opposite gospel. And it's really the bad word instead of the good word, you know. The bad news. Just look at the news report. See much good news? No, it's mostly bad news. Right? You have to hammer the good news into your head. And that means the catechism and the holy gospels. So study the catechism. It's your tools. It's your toolbox, your toolkit to make your way to heaven. So take it seriously. Remember, Jesus went. It'd be nice if we could just, on Ascension, all of us come here on Ascension Thursday, and like these cults that wanted to go away with the comet, we could just grab Jesus' fringes and go to heaven with him right now, you know? But that's not the way it works. We have to live a holy life. That's what he wants. And that's how we take a hold of the fringes of his garment, the hem. And that's how we get dragged into heaven by Jesus. It's not a magical thing. It's a day-to-day grind. We know Jesus, know God, by study of the Catechism and the Holy Scriptures. You love him because he is perfectly good and extremely lovable, and because he loves you. And he especially loves mothers with little babies because they're lovable. And they get a lot of attention at times, whether they wanted to or not. To know, love, and serve God, to obey him. Service means to obey. As a servant, his chief operation is to obey his master, so we are servants of God, and we obey him. And if we know, love, and serve God in this world, we will see him in the next world. So let us make up our minds to do that and set about it right now. It is not difficult. It is not sad. It is not, you know, monotonous or drudgery. It's truly happy. The devil tries to tell you that it's sad and it's hard and, oh, I can't do it, etc. And nobody else is doing it. You know, what does Father think he's telling us? This is crazy. Those are the words of Satan. He tries to discourage it. We have to encourage it and say, yes, this is for me. It can be done. And I'm about to do it. Just watch me. And you go for it. Next temptation that comes to you, you say, go away. I'm headed for heaven. Right? Turn the other way and move. And this way you'll save your soul. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.